Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on. Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What has the Greenland controversy revealed to us about NATO? I think I'll do a deep dive into the Greenland issue because I'm concerned that what's going on here is exposing some serious fissures in the NATO alliance. The controversy, well, Greenland is part of the Kingdom of Denmark. However, its status is unique. Greenland is a self-governing territory within the Kingdom of Denmark, with full control over its governance, and I understand with representation in the Danish Parliament. Denmark officially recognizes Greenland as a, quote, people with a right to self-determination, end quote, having their own language, borders, and customs. In the current arrangement, Greenland accepts Denmark's retention of Greenland's defense, foreign affairs, and currency. Furthermore, Greenland/Denmark, or Denmark/Greenland, is a member of NATO, and is a presumed ally of the United States. So why does Trump want the United States to own Greenland? Why is he saying things like, all options are on the table, including military intervention? To underscore how serious he is about America's need for Greenland for strategic defense of our national security. Greenland has for millennia been regarded as a wasteland and has always had a small population, currently about 60,000 on a landmass of 836,000 square miles, 81% of which is covered by ice. Now that leaves only about 159,000 square miles of reasonably habitable land. The entire landmass of Greenland is about, I think it's 4.5 times smaller than the United States and 14 times smaller than Africa. Needless to say, there has never been a great interest in Greenland. The backstory is interesting, I think helpful. Eric the Red led settlers from Norway into Greenland in AD about 985. Unofficially, Greenland became part of Norway. It was of no importance to anyone, and no one ever challenged it. The relationship was assumed. I mean, Eric the Red didn't even have to conquer anybody or fight anybody to establish his colonies there. Denmark and Norway were united under a single monarch in AD, Annos Dominum, by the way, in the year of our Lord, 1380. And later, Sweden was united with Denmark and Norway by what is called the Kalmar Union. That was in the year of our Lord, 1397. We're going way back there. Greenland and Iceland followed Norway into this union. Now, by the time Eric the Red arrived, again, the island was virtually uninhabited. Centuries later, the Inuit people, the folks we know of as the Eskimos, migrated from Canada into Greenland, but that wasn't until Annos Dominum 1200. In AD 1814, I'll just start using dates 1814 and so on. I won't add the AD all the time, but you'll know I'm talking about Annos Dominum in the year of our Lord. After the Kalmar Union in AD 14, Norway, Denmark with Greenland and Iceland and Sweden joined Napoleon. When Napoleon lost his throne, the Kalmar Union broke up, and a new treaty was formed, and that was called the Treaty of Kiel. Norway ceded to Sweden, became part of Sweden, and Greenland went with Denmark. Now, this completed the transfer of Greenland from Norway to Denmark and is cited as Denmark's legal claim to Greenland. Greenland was governed by Denmark throughout what is called the colonial period, 1814 to 1953. In 1953, Denmark amended its constitution, incorporating Greenland into the Kingdom of Denmark and granting Greenland representation in its parliament. Now, at this point, Greenland was virtually, or actually, annexed by Denmark and became part of Denmark. Its status changed from a colony to a county. However, in 1979, Denmark recognized the rights of the Greenlandic people to take over some aspects of their governance, while Denmark retained control of defense, foreign affairs, and currency. In 2009, Denmark adopted the Self-Government Act of 2009, which greatly expanded Greenland's autonomy. Denmark recognized Greenlandic as the official language of Greenland and explicitly recognized Greenlanders as, quote, a people with the right of self-determination, end quote. Now, Denmark officially recognized the Greenlandic people's right to become fully independent of Denmark should they choose to do so. Greenland has exercised their autonomy and shown some independence from Denmark. For example, Denmark is part of the European Union, but Greenland withdrew from the European Union in 1985 without Denmark. Important note here, Greenland did not have a vote in 1973, so it was automatically enrolled in as an European Union member when Denmark entered it, even though actually Greenlanders voted against it. When Greenland obtained home rule in 1979, among its first actions was to vote to leave the European Union, but remain connected to Denmark. Now here's the issue. Greenland wanted control over their territorial waters. Denmark ceded them to Europe. So Greenland has asserted their autonomy from Denmark before and is within its legal rights to determine whether or not it will align with the United States. If Denmark recognized Greenland's right to represent its own interests in the matter of membership in the European Union, which is a foreign affairs question affecting domestic interests, it should recognize Greenland's right to negotiate with the United States on matters of security relative to its own interests. But here are my concerns about all of this. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said his rule of leadership was to speak softly but carry a big stick. Now, friend, no American president should have to shake a big stick at those we would presume are our friends and allies in order to get them to do what is right with regard to legitimate concerns and interests of their neighbor, the United States. Trump has been exposing the hidden, ugly side of NATO actually for quite a while. It began with his complaint against NATO members for failing to meet the recommended 2% of their GDP investment into military preparedness. Instead, I think everyone except Poland threw the burden of European security almost entirely on the American taxpayer. Well, hold on. Let's look at that more closely. Okay, of course, the U.S., but also the U.K., Greece, and Estonia, with the U.S. leading the way, and then Poland leading all the rest, contributed their 2% of GDP to military preparedness. Now, I use various AI engines to do some research, and I noticed that ChatGPT listed Germany, France, Italy, Canada, Spain, Belgium, and the Czech Republic, Luxembourg, Iceland, and others as failing to meet the expectation of a 2% investment in military preparedness. I noticed that the chat did not mention the Danes, however, and that's even after we had extensive conversations about Denmark. Now, usually, ChatGPT and the others answer successive questions within the context of prior conversation. But I had to enter a separate query, and it was weird because the super intelligent ChatGPT, while confessing upon challenge, that Denmark did not begin increasing their military spending until after Trump began pointing this out. When I asked, has Denmark agreed to step up to the 5% challenge, it couched the answer in ambiguity. Quote, Denmark has not formally pledged to aim for the full 5% GDP itself on a standalone basis, end quote. Now, what does that last phrase mean? Itself on a standalone basis. What are you talking about? I asked, and chat responded essentially by repeating itself. So I pointed out that it was using by itself and the standalone thing as extraneous information, an extraneous phrase that didn't add any clarification to the answer. And in fact, it obfuscated the fact that plainly and simply, Denmark has not agreed to work toward the 5% goal. That's the answer. But I wondered because of this weird language, so I probed, and anyway, finally, Chad agreed that I was correct. They introduced confusion by inserting the extraneous phrase and said what was apparently hard for it to say, and that is, Denmark has not agreed to shoot for the 5% threshold. Now, I have trouble believing AI is so stupid it would inadvertently obscure a simple statement. I've used it long enough to know better than that. But I do believe its programming is sufficiently sophisticated to purposely obscure a simple fact. Yeah. Now, I've documented many examples of AI leaning left in its framing and sympathies. So, for the present, I am forced to conclude the programmers are lefties. Expect AI, and this is my point, expect AI to frame responses with a politically leftward bias and to couch its responses in a manner that demonstrates a sympathetic protection of that bias. Denmark is on record as being less than serious about Greenland's security and as unresponsive to United States concerns about Greenland's strategic importance to national security for the United States. And that brings me to my point, because not only is Denmark unresponsive to U.S. national security concerns, but neither are other NATO allies. Here's an alarming headline. World News posted on X, quote, in a stunning escalation, Danish and allied NATO troops have begun pouring into Nuuk, Greenland's capital, after Danish PM Mette Frederiksen declared that Greenland remains firmly under Danish sovereignty and autonomy, and any attack would trigger NATO Article 5, end quote. And they remain firmly, like you got a grip on them, like you own them? Yeah, well, you don't. But anyway, okay. It is an important development, but let's add some context. It amounts to about 30 to 40 personnel. Yeah. 15 from France, 13 from Germany, 3 officers from Sweden, 2 from Norway, 2 liaison personnel from Finland, and 1 officer from the UK, 1 from the Netherlands. All are present, by the way, at the invitation of Denmark. The United States currently posts about 200 troops in Greenland, which is pretty evenly matched by Danish troops, which account for about 150 to 200 personnel, but that's divided between military and civilian. In 2025, Denmark conducted an exercise involving 550 participants over several weeks during the summer and fall. Now, these were temporary training events, and so far as I can find, they've never done anything like that before 2025. In other words, I can't find that they did anything like that after Russia invaded Ukraine. Just saying. So, what triggered this interest in military exercises in Greenland? More recently, the Danes have increased their military presence in Greenland, including aircraft, naval assets, and foot soldiers, and have conducted more military exercises as part of a broader effort to establish a more sustained presence. Okay. So, have the Danes said, yeah, well, you know, Trump's got a point. We should beef up our military there on the Greenland island, because after all, that is a buffer between Russia and America. So, you know, yeah, right. Our allies in the region seem to be with one voice, pushing back against Trump's claim that Russian and Chinese military operations are active in Greenland's territorial waters. Now, truth is, Trump hasn't said that expressly. He just said the Chinese and the Russians are all over the place over there. The trick, however, is to frame the question specifically about the military presence in ports or on Greenland soil. The fact is, a Russian military presence is for sure in the Arctic, and the very real possibility of Chinese military activity also exists in the Arctic. We would be fools to ignore this, especially in view of the outrageous statements we have received in the past from military commanders in China and from Russian generals and so on as well. However, over the last decade at least, Russia has heavily militarized the Arctic region, with hundreds of military installations gathered in the northwestern part of Russia near Greenland, and positioned, clearly, to strike the U.S. Now, that's not surprising given the history of fear and suspicion between our respective countries, you know, dating back into before the Iron Curtain fell and that long period of the Cold War. One thing must be remembered, however, America has never made any broad threats to attack Russia, but Russia has a history of declaring its intentions to destroy America. Nevertheless, there are no suspected or confirmed permanent Russian military bases in Greenland. Russia has a high military profile in the Arctic, however, and an extensive sea presence there. Its military deployments are a very easy distance from Greenland and from the United States. That is whatever's left now of their army after their war with Ukraine. Anyway, China has expressed a keen interest in Greenland's strategic position. Now, that's a curious framing, since the only strategic advantage China could gain from Greenland would be relevant to some interest they might have in joining Russia in an attack on the United States, or in defending Russia and China, let's say, from an attack by the U.S. But who's the one that's been making the threats with regard to that? Anyway, otherwise, China has spoken quite a bit about their interest in the mineral resources there, rare earths and so on. So China has an interest, Russia has an interest. Denmark has only very recently, however, begun to show any interest in Greenland's security. And it appears, by the way, the Russia and China thing has been going on for a long time. And only lately has Copenhagen, as Denmark, shown any interest in Greenland's security. It appears Denmark is benefiting significantly from Russian and Chinese interest in Greenland. Take a look at this article. You should know that Greenland has opened a representative office in Beijing. That was in 2021. To establish diplomatic engagement with the Chinese to attract foreign investment into Greenland. Now, that was Greenland that did that. Of course, can Greenland have done that without Denmark anyway? Denmark did block the Chinese from entering into contracts with Greenland to build airports there, some massive ones that they were planning to build. In other words, there are United States-friendly Danes and United States-friendly Greenlanders, and there are those in Greenland and in Denmark who are unfriendly to the U.S. and much more friendly with China and Russia. With this in view, the knowledge that the majority in the Denmark parliament and in Greenland have shown little or no inclination to beef up Greenlandic security until the United States president began pointing out the threat this poses to U.S. security interests. Now, friend, that's troubling. It appears Denmark is more concerned about America acquiring Denmark than they are about Russia or China using Denmark to stage an attack on the U.S.? Because the only time Denmark has gotten serious about establishing a military presence in Greenland, and the only time, by the way, that our NATO allies have shown any inclination to fortify Greenland, is when the U.S. started complaining about the problem this poses for American security. And then, only when Trump suggested a military option was on the table with regard to Greenland. There's more going on with Greenland than you have been led to believe. The ugly truth about NATO is that the alliance provided a wall of protection for the members, but funded almost entirely by American blood and treasure. Now, when America expresses a national security concern, well, they lock arms to oppose the United States. Not all of them, but the major ones. The Danes were among those who failed to meet the 2% GDP target for all NATO members until Trump increased pressure on NATO during his first term. And they continued to lag behind in committing to increasing military spending to 5%. They have established a near zero military buffer between Russia and the U.S. and have been reluctant, if not obstinate, in their recognition of the United States' legitimate concerns about Russia and China observing their military buildup presence in the Arctic. So let me conclude this segment. As for the Greenland controversy and what it's revealed about NATO, Well, that whole NATO thing quickly devolved into a safety net for European nations, and funded almost entirely by American taxpayer dollars and American soldiers' blood. Wicked and unreasonable leaders of this country encourage an arrogant disrespect among NATO members for the United States, leading to an almost total disregard for America's security concerns. Trump saw this. He spoke to it, brought his big stick along, and, yeah, stirred up some things, showing me that NATO will quickly align itself against America before it will take a hard line against the very nations that NATO was organized to protect them from. What about that? What do you think? Hold on to the break. I'll be right back. I'd like to introduce to you Pornima Wog. She's running for the 37th District Assembly seat.
California has over 15,000 miles of bad roads, and about 1,500 bridges need a lot of repair. So we are really in a mess when it comes to infrastructure. We have failing infrastructure, and it needs to be revived as quickly as possible.
And I recommend you vote for Pornima.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. To summarize the first segment, friend, it looks to me like NATO has, in large part, become a tool for the globalist Nimrod tower builders and is very interested in using America as a shield for their interests, but uninterested in protecting the interests of the United States. Will NATO collapse? This is a very important question in light of how things are shaping up as Trump increases pressure on the enemies of freedom and liberty in the world. You know, the enemies that NATO was formed to address. There needs to be a refocus of NATO's purpose. For too long, NATO has gone along with the Obama agenda, you know, to transform, and Biden, to transform America into subservience to the globalist agenda. And some of the larger allies like Germany, France, and UK have been deeply infiltrated by globalist tower builders, ragers against Christ and his rule over the kings of the earth. Check the Bible, Revelation 1:5. We must pray God will lead our president to strengthen the wall of protection NATO used to provide against the enemies of freedom and liberty in this world. Trump is exposing the fissures in that wall, and a realignment is needed. I spent almost all my time exploring what the Greenland controversy reveals about the weaknesses that have developed in NATO. So I'm just going to review a few other items of interest that are related. Let's start with one of our oldest and most stalwart allies, the UK. The days of Reagan teaming up with Thatcher seem to be gone. Now the Labour Party in the UK is talking about arresting Brits for waving the British flag in their own country. Now here's Susanna Pressel, Labour councillor for Oxfordshire, railing against Brits for daring to raise Britain's flag as being absolutely appalling, calling on police to remove the flags and arrest anyone who runs it up after British police remove it. You can listen to her little hot mic moment here in this link. At the same time, Britain is preparing for war, enacting laws that allow its government to raise the age of conscription into the military from 55 to 65. They're bowing the knee to Islam while preparing for war with Russia? Huh? Mexico has refused to allow the CIA and U.S. Special Forces to operate in Mexico against the cartels. So, well, I guess we know whose side Scheinbaum is on. She does nothing about the cartels and then defends them against American forces trying to protect American interests. Well, we've got a president who puts America first. Iran participated in joint naval exercises near South Africa with China, Russia, and the UAE. Really? With what's going on between the U.S. and Iran right now? You know, South Africa has begun investigating Iran's participation in these exercises after the United States brought to their attention that Iran extended their participation in these exercises beyond, quote, observer status, end quote. the potential of U.S. intervention increases. We are praying for the Iranians. China's nervous. If the people succeed at breaking the iron grip of the Ayatollahs, well, the Chinese people just might get the idea in their head and in their heart that when an oppressed people rise up with one voice and say, give me liberty or give me death, it's game over for tyrants. Okay, get a hold of this. The upcoming elections are absolutely critical, and the battle over election integrity is raging in the United States right now. A decision by the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, has removed the trick of claiming a candidate or that voters have no standing when filing a case disputing an election outcome where states or counties refuse to obey federal law. You know, the law that says elections are to be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. If they extend the count beyond that and receive votes cast after the constitutional deadline, those objecting to changing the results of a legal election by continuing to count and find votes for their candidate, that's over. And this business of a court saying, well, we're not going to hear it for lack of standing, that's done. Remember that nonsense? That's what they did over and over and over again in the 2020 elections. The SCOTUS ruled 7-2 that Democrats cannot ignore federal law. And this came from A.G. Harmeet Dhillon. Quote, the Supreme Court just ruled a GOP congressional candidate can challenge blue state mail-in voting laws, end quote. There you go. Now we can fight back against this nonsense of counting ballots weeks after an election day. Now think of it. That ruling was 7-2, by the way. Kagan, of all people, voted with the majority on this one. Thank God for Thomas Fitton and Judicial Watch. They led the charge on this and did an outstanding job. All right, I got to wrap it up. Join me Saturday night, January 17, 2026, by the way, for Brain Massage Live. And come on by and join us for worship this Sunday. I'd love to meet you if I haven't had that opportunity, or see you again if I haven't seen you in a while. I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button. Fill in the form there. Give me your message and send it to me. We don't sell your information to anybody. I don't even put it on my other list for promoting my books and things. We're very jealous to protect your privacy in that way. Or you could call me. Call 1-805-314-2114. That's 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.